Hello, it's Norman Swan here with another health report. In this program, we're going to dig hard into earwax. We'll unblock your ears with a spot of self-help. And we'll also look at two questions that can be asked to find children who are chronically hungry in countries like Australia. And you'll meet the Australian-born radical, well, at least by doctor standards he's radical, who's become president of the British Medical Association, the BMA.
Well, they rang me and said, would you like to be president of the BMA? And I said, you must know what I do. And they said, yeah, we know what you do. And I said, I've spent my whole career saying that the real determinants of health lie outside the healthcare system. Why would you want me to be president of the BMA?
That's later. Now, I don't often share my medical problems with you, but one of the banes of my life is earwax. Clearly, it's an issue I share with Kevin Rudd, but I don't find that eating the stuff gets my ears unblocked. And I don't relish the time involved in getting to my GP for syringing. Well, a study from the UK led by GP Dr. Richard Coppin has an answer for me and maybe even for you. It investigated those white rubber syringing bulbs that you buy at the chemists.
That's correct. The shape of an onion. And it's sort of about the size of a golf ball, fits in your hand, and you suck up warm water and squirt it into your ear. And you do that repeatedly to clear the wax. We thought it was a useful intervention if we could demonstrate that it was safe and effective.
So what did you do?
First of all, we searched around the literature to see if much was known about it, and there was no literature that we could find at all. And I think it's one of those things that is just, it's a sort of folk remedy, and people in countries where it's available just get on and use it. So we did a little pilot study to see whether it was feasible to get people to use them, and our patients liked them a lot. So we designed a larger study and got some funding for it. Initially, we did a short study over a few weeks looking at the effectiveness of it, and that demonstrated that they did seem to be effective short term.
And measured on what outcome? Your lumps of wax coming out of your ear into the basin?
The outcome measures were the appearance of the drum after patients had used it, whether it looked clear, and we also asked patients whether their symptoms had improved. We gave them a little scoring system which they filled in, and the results showed that it did appear to be effective. But we then wanted to see whether it was also effective long-term and what impact that might have on workload of general practice. So we did a two-year follow-up, and we searched back through the notes of patients, and half the patients had been treated traditionally by being syringed by the nurse, and the other half had been given a bulb syringe and told how to use it. And then 2 years later, we went and we looked through their notes to see how often people had come back to see the doctor or nurse and how many times they'd had their ears syringed.
And the findings?
The findings were that we looked at the number of times people had come back, and there was a difference, a twofold difference. Twice as many people who'd originally seen the nurse to have their ears syringed came back compared with those who'd been given a bulb syringe.
So it wasn't just that fewer people came back, they came back less often as well.
They did indeed. So that added up to a saving potentially of one consultation for every two patients, which we felt was significant, and if that was replicated by making their use more widespread in the UK, that would make a substantial difference.
How are you telling people to use it?
We gave fairly detailed instructions about squeezing the bulb, dipping it into some warm water, sucking up the water into the bulb, putting the nozzle gently into their ear, and then using gentle pressure to flush out the wax.
What about softening drops, which I noticed that the American Otolaryngology Society were pretty equivocal about, saying whether they make any difference at all?
That's right. We felt that because it seemed standard practice in the UK to recommend them, that we would advise people to use them first. So we advised people to use sodium bicarbonate ear drops. But there's really no good evidence that one form of drop is better than any other.
So you didn't use the oily smelly one?
No, we didn't, because there isn't evidence that that's any better than any other. So we felt it probably didn't matter, and it may indeed be the water content that's as effective as any.
Did anybody have a perforation?
Nobody had a perforation. We possibly uncovered a prior perforation in our control group. So in those who'd had their ears syringed traditionally, one person was found to have a perforation, but that was almost certainly pre-existing. And that supports our finding that they appear to be quite safe. But there clearly is the potential for somebody to squirt water so hard into their eardrum that it caused damage. But we're reassured by the fact that we tried it ourselves. And in fact, the control that you have over the strength of the jet is very precise. And if you do it too hard, it hurts. So we felt that was reassuring. We couldn't find any literature in the States suggesting that companies had been sued because of damage caused by use of bulb syringes. And we contacted one of the big manufacturers in the US who assured us that in 20 years they'd had no complaints of people who damaged their ears. So we can't say conclusively, but we failed to find any serious safety data of concern.
Richard Coppin is a British Research General Practitioner. You're hopefully fully unwaxed and are easily listening to the Health Report here on ABC Radio National with me, Norman Swan.